Good afternoon, Jan Vermeulen. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. Also like jazz, but not that jazz. Not all jazz.
Sounds
like
my man.
Yeah, Alonso's very Stanley Clark-esque. Stanley Clark is a jazz bassist. I think he's a bassist.
We'll take your word for it, Kathy.
Okay, I'm not sure.
Tech is his game, not jazz.
Listen, I've met Jan. I've known Jan for a long time. Jan, I don't understand any of your headlines. Your headlines have actually made me feel dumb. Zadner, CEO suspended. I'm hearing, you know, the opening chords to Mission Impossible in my head. What is Zadner?
Right.
What is Zadner?
Right. It's a great question, actually, because the organization is instrumental in how the .za domain namespace is managed in South Africa. And, the average person on the street, you know, has no idea how this whole thing fits together.
Exactly.
Right. So Zadner, so firstly, once upon a time, there was a company called Uniform, which handled all things .za. Mm. This got split into three different functions. We have the sort of policy function, which is being handled by Zadner, the ZA Domain Name Authority. We then have the ZACR, the .za Central Registry, and they handle the technical stuff. For making the .za namespace work. And they don't just do .za. ZACR also does .africa and the .cities domains, .joburg, .cape town, .durban. And then we have a company called DNS, to which a lot of the technical functions of the ZACR are outsourced. I think I've characterized that correctly. Now, what's happened is that the CEO of Zadner according to the chair of Zadner, who I've spoken to, been accused of, the quote is a little weird, so I'm not sure what the legal implications are, so I'm going to try to stick as close to it as possible, but basically various hybrid accusations of mismanagement of funds of Zadner and others. And so there's a disciplinary hearing ongoing. And the concern I've heard from the industry, I've chatted to a couple of sources in the industry who put me onto the story and who were quite concerned about what was going on, and to understand why, we have to dig a little bit deeper. So the first thing is that the CEO Vika Mpisani, or rather the suspended CEO Vika Mpisani, there's an acting CEO in his place at the moment. He has been at the forefront of a campaign to hike prices, wholesale prices for .za domains at Zadner. And there are people in the ISP community at large in South Africa who have been vehemently opposing it. And so that's the one thing. And so if there's a mismanagement of funds, if that accusation is found to be true, then there will be many more questions raised about why on earth the consumer at the end of the day should be paying hiked fees on .za domains if Zadner couldn't keep its house in order. The second concern is that this suspension has been ongoing for a long time. So the suspension happened at the end of last year. The disciplinary was scheduled to start in January, and did start in January, and there's still been no resolution to this matter. The CEO remains suspended, the acting CEO remains in place, and the disciplinary is ongoing. And so when I asked the Zadner chair what on earth is going on and how long will this take to finish, she said that, you know, that they would want this finished quickly as well. What's happening is that Mpisane is, delaying the process. He's taking, doing whatever he can at the CCMA to stay the disciplinary proceedings.
That's the South African way.
That's why the issue has dragged on until now.
Yeah.
That's just the South African way. He's following what he sees in government. Talk to us about Huawei losing an arm.
This was another headline that I did not understand on my broadband today. You really made me feel like a dumb blonde, Jan. Why Huawei losing arm is a big deal. I think anybody losing an arm is a big deal. And so I thought, well, maybe it's a contraction. Maybe arm is something else. And so I Googled arm and up came African rainbow minerals. So why is Huawei losing African rainbow minerals? And why is a big deal? Welcome to my world.
Not African rainbow minerals. So ARM, I find the history of ARM interesting. I'm going to try to keep it short and sweet, hopefully interest some people out there that might be interested in this kind of history and not bore everybody else who is not. Just to catch everybody up, if you haven't been following the story, Huawei is being used as a plaything, I want to say, as a piece in a larger game between the United States and China in a global trade war. And Huawei, what's happened is that the United States government has put, the Department of Commerce has put Huawei on what it calls the entities list. And that means that you cannot do business with that entity unless you get special permission to do so. Here we sit. And the likes of Google isn't allowed to do business with Huawei. And we covered, what that could mean for Android and so on. I don't want to rehash that. But really the big one was ARM. And it came out of left field. So ARM is a company develops the very standards that are used in the chips in your phone. So even though there are many different chip manufacturers out there, even though a lot of people use Qualcomm, Samsung builds its own chips. Huawei, crucially, builds its own chips. A lot of people develop create their own processors that they put in their phones. But without ARM, you have no processor. It's basically the monopoly, the quiet monopoly in smartphones and in the tech industry in general, because their processors aren't just used in smartphones. They're used all over the show, smart TVs, all kinds of appliances. But nobody makes too much noise about them because they are notoriously fair. They license their stuff on fair terms. Everybody's happy with it. And so it's not something that anybody's made a lot of noise about. And ARM is a British company headquartered in the UK, owned by a Japanese multinational. I don't think it gets more 21st century capitalism than that. But the thing that the US appears to be hinging on here is that ARM has offices in the United States, a few offices, in fact, and it has patents registered in the United States. I understand they are primary patents. And so the United States it sounds like the Department of Commerce rattled its saber and said, hey, ARM, you have offices and patents here. If you'd like to keep doing business kind of thing, you need to toe the line. So you're going to have to cut ties with Huawei, or else kind of thing. And so, even though ARM is headquartered in the UK, it is a UK company with a storied history in the British computing industry, and is not actually owned by any American interest. It's purely by virtue of having offices in the United States and having primary research done in the United States on its tech. It now has to comply with Department of Commerce regulations. I think for safety's sake, they've done it. I'm pretty sure they're investigating whether, in fact, this is how things need to be. We don't have a lot of detail exactly on this, and so that'll emerge in time. That's why ARM is a big deal, is because without them, you have no CPU. A bit of that history, I was going to talk about, it's the ARM, the ARM, comes from Acorn RISC Machine. And Acorn was a British computer company that used to compete with the likes of Sinclair and the ZX Spectrum.
Oh, my gosh, those little Sinclairs that you had to have a tape recorder with. My brother got his first computer when he was 3 or 4. Yeah.
Both of you completely lost me. Never heard of a Sinclair, but hey,
Jan from Ierland, that is where we leave it this week. Look forward to speaking to you next week, and hopefully I will understand your headlines. It's just me. Hashtag, it's not me. It's, yeah. In fact, I think that this week it wasn't me, it was you. Just saying. Thanks, Jan.